Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Tommy Skinner, your host of This Flippin' Podcast. This is episode 108, your first episode of 2021. We're going to discuss some changes to my location, some additions and subtractions from the collection, a few of the rumors that are floating around out there, and what I'm really excited to talk about is what I think are some of the best-kept secrets in pinball over the past year, and we're going to get into that like right away because I'm sitting here on an e-learning day at school and kids aren't doing any work, so I got some time to kill. But first off, we will start with the opinion of mine that the best kept secret in pinball over the last year has been Hot Wheels by American Pinball. I know when I recorded a brief episode to say goodbye to the terrible year that was 2020, I mentioned that I had recently gotten to play literally just maybe two or three games on a Hot Wheels at a location, Padovan's out near St. Louis, I believe it is in St. Charles, Missouri, and I was impressed. I enjoyed it, had fun, but you know, quick initial impression. Since then, I was told that my Guns N' Roses Standard Edition was at least 2 months away, and that wasn't great because I had sold Radical from my location in anticipation of Guns N' Roses arriving. So I had some cash sitting there, and I had an empty space at my location, and I decided, let's reach out to some people and see if I can find myself a Hot Wheels to fill the space. And I got really lucky. I was able to find one that slightly used, under 1,000 plays on it total, and was able, within like three and a half hour drive, was able to go pick it up a couple days later. So it worked out really well. My buddy John Hawksby tagged along with me. We made a road trip out of it and drove down, got a little bit of food, got the game, hit the road, came back, set it up, played. And I am really, really impressed with Hot Wheels. I think the game has amazing code, which is not a huge surprise to me, as I know Joe, who worked on Alien, has also worked on Hot Wheels, and that was one of the things that really intrigued me about it, because I loved my Alien code, so I kind of anticipated that. But as far as it goes for my location players, like, look, I love Iron Maiden and Jurassic Park, and I think Avengers is pretty good. And those games have set a really high bar over the last couple years. But a big part of the problem is, like, you got to really be into pinball to appreciate all the details and nuance and depth of those machines. And Hot Wheels does, I think, a much better job than any of those machines at presenting players with some pretty basic and easy to understand approaches to the game, as in shoot the drop target until it says build track, lock a ball, start a multi-ball, spell battle, start a battle, those sort of things. But then it has some of the deeper levels when you bring in the epic modes and the fact that you have these massive score multipliers that you can bring in using your RPMs, Redline Mania, Victory Lap multi-ball that you can stack with Loot Mania multi-ball. There's a lot of depth in there as to how to, like, really, really take advantage of the code. Not exploit, because there's not mistakes in there that I've found yet, at least, and that I haven't seen from other players posting about the game. But there's ways to really capitalize on the rules that do exist within the game to then set yourself up for success in blowing it up with a huge score. Carl D'Angelo, i.e. Pinball on Twitch and YouTube, has a great Twitch highlight out there of him hitting almost an 8 billion point shot in the Draven mode, which is like the wizard mode for the modes. It's really cool to see that you could set yourself up for that sort of success on the machine. I think the game looks really, really nice. It stands out in my lineup. It's in a row of 15 machines at the bar right now, and it's one of the only machines that people comment on all the time. Like, wow, that game looks unique. That's really cool. I just got rid of a game this past weekend, and the guys who came to pick it up own an arcade that's much more heavily based in arcade machines and not pinball machines. But immediately they said the same thing. Wow, that one really stands out. Looks good. I want to try it. The build quality, it feels like it's built with better quality materials. Specifically in, like, the cabinet has a thicker wood that is used It feels sturdier. The playfield support rails underneath are a nice, heavy, thick metal. They're powder coated. It's lit really well. The sub and the shaker are really nice on the machine. I am thoroughly impressed. That being said, I did not care for either American Pinball's first two titles with Houdini and Oktoberfest. They just didn't feel that good to me. I did bump the flipper power up a little bit from default on Hot Wheels, which helped improve that flipper feeling. It still is not the same as a Stern, but it does feel better to me. I do enjoy that aspect. And then as far as, like, again, my player base goes, I mean, Hot Wheels appeals to everyone. Like, everyone knows what Hot Wheels are. So it is a good license. It's not one of those things that is like a current thing, kind of like The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones was, or even Stranger Things with Stern, but it is a thing that is timeless. Hot Wheels spans generations. So that has had some appeal to pretty much everyone who's walked into the space. And then as far as earnings go, say it's only been 2 weeks, but its first week, it was the best earning game I've ever had, which it passed Avengers, which had set that record earlier this year for me, or late last year for a new game coming in, and like it's 1 week total. And then this past week, I had a bit of a down week on my overall collection, but Hot Wheels made up. I have 25 machines there, and Hot Wheels made up nearly 40% of my total coin drop for the past week. So even when it was a slower week, people were still jumping on Hot Wheels and still playing that game. The last few times I've gone down there, that's been about the only thing I've wanted to play, unless I had to like fix something else and then do some test plays on it. So although I realize it's still in the middle of a pandemic, and not everyone has access to the vaccines yet, myself included. Luckily, my parents got access. I believe they have appointments tomorrow on the 4th to get their first doses, so that's amazing. Happy for them. But if you get a chance to play a Hot Wheels, give it a shot. I think you'll be impressed. It does not feel like Houdini, does not feel like Oktoberfest. It feels like a very well-done game. The sounds are really nice on the machine. The quality of the sound, like itself, like the physical speaker products are nice, but the actual like sound effects, the music, etc., are also very well done with the machine. I'm just really, really enjoying it. Now the problem that I've run into is, as I mentioned at the start, I picked this game up as a placeholder, for the next couple months until my Guns N' Roses is ready. And initially I was like, that won't be a problem. I'm not a Hot Wheels collector. I was never really into Hot Wheels. I'm not a car guy. I'm not into cars. But I really appreciate a good rule set and a game that shoots well. And that's what Hot Wheels is. So now I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do when my Guns N' Roses is ready. Because if I had to be really honest, like today, if you put a gun to my head and were like, Tommy, you have to sell the game to pay for your Guns N' Roses, it's that time. I'm much more likely to sell Avengers than I am Hot Wheels. I enjoy Hot Wheels that much more. And again, I'm enjoying Avengers. I think Avengers is a good game. It just got a code update this past week, which is great. I need to spend a little more time on the code update. But as far as just like going and having fun on a pinball machine, I enjoy Hot Wheels more. I think it's just a better all-around package than what Avengers has presented so far. So again, I think that was a very well-kept secret in 2020. I know a few people were out there talking about how great the game is. I'm by no means the first, but I think the lack of shows really hurt them in 2020 for American Pinball to get that game in front of more people. In addition to that, with many locations being closed around the country, not as many people were buying new games, myself included. So seek one out. Try to find a location that has one, a private collector near you that's willing to let you come and check it out. I think you will find a lot of bang for your buck in the prices that that machine is selling for, and I think you'll find a lot of fun in that package as well. So that was my first best kept secret of 2020 as far as machines go. And then my next one, this is one I learned about probably a couple years ago, and I think I just saw somebody mention the name in like a random post in Backglass. You know, they're looking for a Backglass, and somebody mentioned this, but there is a gentleman. He goes by the name, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this, so I apologize in advance, but Koos, C-O-O-S, Hakvort, H-A-K-V-O-O-R-T, Koos Hakvort. And again, I apologize for any mispronunciations, but Koos is in Holland, and he makes reproduction backglasses. And I think his main interest and kind of like specialty started out as Bally Bingos, you know, like our good friend Nick Baldridge, and they shared that interest, and I think that's what sent him on the path into backglass reproduction. But regardless of whatever started it, he's managed at this point to get quite a few backglasses redone. And I'm assuming he doesn't deal with planetary because of the fact that he's in Holland. I don't know about the legality, details, etc. But at one point last year when I was redoing my Frontier, if you guys recall, I needed a backglass, and CPR at that point hadn't released them. Koos had them. And BG Resto had them. Now, the advantage is BG Resto, located in the United States, cheaper to ship. I've worked with him before. Koos is more expensive to get the glass and more expensive to ship. The advantage is his is mirrored and BG Resto's is not. So I had actually reached out, and something that you don't frequently see from a person selling things, Koos actually talked me out of purchasing his back glass. He basically is like, hey, look, if you only need one backglass, it costs the same exact amount to ship to, and, you know, they're expensive, you know. So he's like, if you have access to one of the states, you may as well get that and save yourself some money, unless you already have two that you want to order from me, et cetera, et cetera. So he wasn't, like, giving me the hard sell, which I really respected and appreciated. I did end up ordering from BG Resto, and then I ended up getting stupidly lucky on a road trip and tracking down a old stock Frontier one anyway, so I was able to get an original for my Frontier restoration. But with that being said, Koos did have a mirrored version of Viking, and he also had a mirrored version of Centaur. And as I've assembled my Bally lineup in my living room, my Harlem, my Fathom, and my Frontier are all mirrored back glasses. And then I've got Viking in that lineup. And although I think Viking is a very beautiful game, I love the artwork on that game, and especially the back glass. I think it's really just a nice back glass. I always felt like it should have some mirroring. So I was really tempted by Koos's. And to CPR's credit, they did release a mirrored Viking this year. And I think they stole a lot of their mirroring concepts or borrowed the ideas of what should be mirrored on that game from what Koos design was. And I mean, realistically, that's probably because those are things that maybe were at one point supposed to be mirroring in the design process, and as artists they recognize what should have been and what shouldn't have been. I don't know, but anyway, they looked similar. The problem is I bought a reproduction Flash Gordon mirrored back glass from CPR, and I'm really not impressed with the quality of their mirroring. It's not awful, and if you have absolutely trash back glass and you want to get one from a company with a really good reputation that's located closer, they're probably a little faster, etc., CPR has them. But because of my disappointment in the mirroring effect on my Flash Gordon, I really wanted to give a shot to Koos, because I'd heard his mirroring is a different process and it looks much truer to factory original mirroring that we would see on these classic titles. So with that being said, right around Christmas, I think like a day or two before, I actually reached out to Koos about ordering both Viking and Centaur, and they just arrived this past Monday, February 1st. Luckily, I had inclement weather in town and I was stuck at home anyway, so when they arrived, they didn't have to sit out on my porch or anything. And I am so happy, so impressed. If you follow our social media, either our Facebook page or our Instagram, or I guess even our Twitter, because I would have clicked also a tweet or something on Instagram, you can see some photos that I posted of the Viking specifically. Some of the details, like close-ups of the mirroring effect and some of the side-by-side with the original. And even then, I don't think that those photos can really capture how good the mirroring effect looks on this title. So I tried to take a video up close and then like zoom in out so you can see the whole thing and then segment by segment. So anyway, there's a video out there. But overall, I was incredibly happy with Kusa's back glasses. If I need back glasses in the future for any of my titles that he has available, I will always try to find out, you know, that there's two of them to save that shipping cost, as he pointed out to me. But I will be incredibly happy to support Kuz and to purchase his titles. Looking at it, he does have Flash Gordon. I'm on his website right now, which is kuz.net/bingo_e/backglasses.html, and I'll copy that link into the show notes here, but that'll take you straight to the page of back glasses he has for sale, and all you have to do is email him. He will tell you what he has or how long it'll be, etc., price, and pay him. But he's got like an Attack from Mars special mirrored one, he's got a Theater of Magic, he's done this mirroring on some of the titles that didn't already have them. And then he also just has like the original back glasses for some, or I saw like one of his newest projects is he just made a back glass for Genesis, which is awesome. He made a mirrored version of Cosmic Gunfight, mirrored version of Centaur 2. He's got a Stargazer back glass on there and a Quicksilver, which I both think would look great with mirroring. They're not mirrored right now, but I want to reach out to him and find out if he can do mirroring on those. So anyway, if you need a back glass, I recommend you check out kuz.net. Again, he is more expensive than CPR. It's going to be more expensive for the glass, and it's going to be more expensive to ship. But realistically, at least in my case, like my Viking back glass and my Centaur back glass, my originals, are already nice. Like, they're fine. I'm pretty sure the Viking was a new old stock, and Centaur has maybe one little scratch. I don't think it does, though. So anyway, I will have the option of course, selling off my originals to help defer some of the cost of these reproductions. But again, I just wanted people to know that there's another resource out there for these back glasses. Seeing he's got a Medieval Madness, he's got a Indiana Jones, a Monster Bash, like your A-plus titles. And personally, I just love mirrored back glasses. I love back glasses over Translite. I like the way the glass looks, the way it feels. It feels like a high quality product to me. And again, I'm incredibly happy with the back glasses that just arrived. If anybody is like, man, I want to see more before I commit to anything, literally, I will send you any picture or video of anything you want from the ones that I got. My Centaur machine, thanks to my friend Michael Alexander, who has been doing my playfield swap for me, is hopefully going to be done here in the near future. I need to get over there and help a bit more. I've been just really busy with wrestling and school and work at the bar and running pinball league at locations, like always. But I got the Centaur, and hopefully we'll be wrapping that up soon. I had to put together the displays a week or so ago. I did the Pennytech Uno 7-digit white LED displays, another product that I think is really good. And Michael's been busting away on the playfield swap. So we'll be able to get that back glass in there, and I can get you pictures of that one too. But anyway, if it's something you're interested in and you just want to see more, if you're local, you're welcome to always hit me up, check them out in person. Far away, I'll send you whatever pictures and video I can to try to get you to see how nice these back glasses look. But those are my best kept secrets of 2020 and coming into 2021. Check out Hot Wheels if you can, and if you need a back glass, at least give Kuz a look. He won't be your most budget-friendly option, but I think as far as quality goes, it's the best quality I've gotten on a reproduction back glass yet, and I've used both CPR and BG Resto. I have not used Shays at all in the past. I don't know. I can't speak from personal experience on Shays back glasses. I've always heard really good things. So there's, again, you got options. I did want to mention there are code updates out there. I already mentioned Avengers. I need to get more time on it. I've just been playing Hot Wheels lately, so I haven't really played the Avengers code update much, but it's there. I know I can now battle Thanos, which I've only gotten to that point in the machine twice, where I would have battled him anyway, but he wasn't there yet, and now he is, so I'm curious about that. Led Zeppelin did get a code update. I will chime in on Led Zeppelin here with my initial impressions briefly, and Stranger Things also got a code update. I did play the code update on that, and I have to say, still not super impressed, still sad, still heartbroken. I wish it was so much more than it is, but it isn't, and that's nothing I can do to change that, and that's okay. It's what it is. I know there's people out there that love that game, and that's great, because not every machine needs to be for every person. Now, as far as Led Zeppelin goes, when I picked up my Hot Wheels, I got a chance to play a Led Zeppelin Pro from the distributor, and I will say, first and foremost, the game looks better in person than I expected. Based on the photos I had seen, I understand that the cabinet is like Led Zeppelin Elmart, but it wasn't Elmart that I was really impressed with on the Pro. But then you see it in person and it looks pretty good. The playfield, while being kind of generic, it reminds me a little bit of, as far as the artwork side of it goes, Steve Ritchie's Star Trek with Stern, and the fact that like people didn't really dig that art at first because it's so generic. But it does a good job with the title. It blends in. It doesn't become distracting in a way, as a positive, I would say. And then I have to say, it did sound really good. The one we were playing was cranked up pretty loud. And, I mean, one, if you like Led Zeppelin music, obviously you're going to like the sound, which I do. But two, I thought the sound effects for, like, the spinner specifically stood out to me as a really nice sound effect. The target sounds, etc., the call-outs, it seemed to be pieced together really well. On the negative side, I literally only played one game on it. I had a pretty good game. I got the, not the grand champion, but the number one high score on the machine that he had. So I got, you know, I played a decent amount of it. It did seem multi-ball heavy, which again, I think is good for, especially for location games. Cause that's what people want to get to and that's what they want to play. And it shot really, really nice. The shots were smooth. They were like where you thought they should be on the flipper. Most of the shots were backhandable, which I always enjoy. The one thing I will say is that upper flipper, it shoots into a dead-end target, which is kind of like the train target on Addams Family. On the Premium and LE editions, that shoots into a crossover ramp that's going to cross your playfield. And the fact that that's missing on the Pro, I think, hurts it pretty badly. I don't think it's impossible that people are going to be able to basically recreate that ramp and add it to a Pro. I legitimately think some people are going to go that far on modding this machine that it'll have the ramp from the Premium and LE. And then, of course, you're also missing the rising spinner mechanism, which is a really cool mech. I am looking forward to eventually checking out a Premium or LE and getting to see that mech in action. I think that's very neat. You know, I want to experience it. But the fact that those aren't on the Pro, nor is the expression lighting, which will be available as a mod for, I think, $550. The Pro just feels too stripped down for me to be comfortable purchasing it. And the Premium is just, it Led Zeppelin is not a title that I want to spend premium money on. Although I think if you're, it's a game that you are getting, I would definitely personally recommend going with the Premium edition because of specifically that extra ramp, the spinning mech that rises out of the playfield, and the expression lighting all being built in. I also like the Premium cabinet with the actual Led Zeppelin on it. I think that looks really nice. I like it better than the Pro cabinet. But again, it's not a game I'm interested in purchasing. Definitely one that I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to find on a location somewhat near me and spending some more time on it. But we'll see what happens. So that was just my initial impression. Again, one game deep on Led Zeppelin, had fun with it. As far as new games go, as we already mentioned, I got Hot Wheels. That's at the bar. It's been there for 2 weeks now, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to playing it more. I haven't been able to be down there very much right now because of wrestling season in school and work at the bar. So I'm looking, we've got 3 weeks of wrestling left before state finals, and I'm looking forward to having some time off and getting to play a little more pinball. I'm still waiting on my GNR. And then I have a new EM machine coming. I got a Butterfly by Sonic to go with my Prospector. the delivery company unfortunately called Tuesday at like 4:30 p.m. and I was not. Oh, that's the end of the class that doesn't exist. I was not near my phone and didn't get that call. And when I called back the next morning, they were like, "Oh, well, the truck already left this morning. Your game's not on it because we couldn't get a hold of you." So Butterfly should hopefully be here next week. I'm guessing on Tuesday, it seems. But that'll be a cool EM to put in place at the location, because the only EM we've had down there is Prospector. And while it's by no means like making me rich, people do enjoy playing it. And I think Butterfly is a really fun game as well. And it's just really pretty, and I wanted one. So that worked out well when I saw that pop up for sale. And then the day after, this would have been whatever our most recent holiday was, President's Day or MLK Day. I can't remember. I think it was President's Day. It was the 18th, I believe. Anyway, that Sunday is when we went and picked up Hot Wheels. And then the next day, I talked my buddy John into also tagging along with me on another trip, as I was able to go and pick up a game that I've been hoping to find, but not really looking really hard or counting on it because it seemed expensive. But I was able to pick up a Barn Find Voltan Escapes Cosmic Doom. This is a game I've talked about on the show before. I got to play one a couple months ago in Nashville. I think I played the one that HEP, High End Pins, Christopher Hutchinson actually restored a few years ago. But for those of you unfamiliar, it's a very low run Bally game, I believe from 1980. I'm going to double check because it's so basic it makes me think it could be 79, but I'm pretty sure it's a 1980 game. Yeah, let's see here. I pull up. No, it is 79. I'm sorry. February of 79, according to the Internet Pinball Database. And it never saw a full production run. So basically, this game would have been released after Playboy and before Supersonic. And the initial run of these machines is roughly 365. Nowadays, when we talk about LE machines, most LEs have runs of at least 500 at Stern. Jersey Jack, it's usually 1,000. And this machine received a total run of 365. So, you know, you're putting it at like an LE number of a modern day game, a little under that. But then you have to factor in the games that were produced around it. So Bally that comes, or Playboy that comes out right before them from Bally, does over 18,000 machines. Supersonic that comes out right after it does 10,000 machines, followed by Star Trek at 16,000 and Kiss at 17,000. So this game really, really doesn't fit in to the whole cycle, essentially, with what Bally was doing at the time. But what it's known for is its beautiful art package. I picked up CPR last year, did reproduction play fields and plastics, and I picked those up at the time because my initial plan was to build one from scratch. This will make it much easier because now I have a wire harness and there is somebody willing to reproduce it, and I've already offered up the wire harness for loan if they want it, but they said they've got so many other wire harnesses it'd be a while before they could even get to it. So anyway, this thing showed up on Facebook Marketplace with a 8-Ball Deluxe, also a Barn Find, both in just terrible shape, for $150. I replied within 17 minutes. I did not get the machines. Luckily, the person who did started posting about how to fix them, and he's a newer collector, and somebody sent me his post so I could see who had the machine, and I messaged the guy and kind of let him know why I wanted it, what I was looking to do with it, etc. We talked for about a week. We finally came to agreement. He was more interested in games than he was money. And I had a Stern Star sitting in my storage unit. And we ended up making a trade. So from a player's perspective, Stars is a much better playing game than Voltan Escapes Cosmic Doom. From a collector's perspective, Voltan is a far prettier game to look at. And it's so rare. I think the last time I had checked on Pinside, there were less than 50 people who had the machine in their collection. It might even be lower than that. Let's see what Pinside says here. 365 on the production run, and owners are listed at 20 And that's including me with my barn find project that's going to need a ton of work. And there's four of them. Sorry about the bell again. There's four of them on location to play. One is at the Museum of Pinball in California. Another, Pinball Paradise in Illinois. Another one at the Vintage Flipper World. And I don't even see a fourth one on the map, so it might be international. Yeah, so that is basically one of the main reasons I was so interested in this title. I like rare stuff. I like my Dragon Fist. I like my Geiger Space stuff. Space Rider and Lady Death that I got. I like rare games. I always have. Probably always will. But anyway, we made that trade. John rode along with me. There's not much else I can really say about the machine this time because, like, it's literally went straight to my storage unit. It's going to need a ton of work. I still need to get a back glass. BG Resto has done those, so I will most likely get one from him. And probably going to need a new cabinet, and I already got the playfield in plastic. So it'll be a completely rebuilt game by the time I'm done with it. One of the exciting things, or at least things that had intrigued me, is there's a story on the Internet Pinball Database that maybe the first four, six machines or something went out with a different soundboard that has prototype sounds on it that never went into production. So, like, that was one of the first thoughts in my head. Was like, maybe this is that special soundboard. It's not. We looked it up once we got there and actually had the machine in hand and stuff. So, no amazing discovery of a rare pinball part there. Still cool and something I was really glad to be able to pick up a project for this coming summer, perhaps. And I will hopefully one day be able to put out a nice and rebuilt and restored Voltron Escapes Cosmic Doom and have more people get a chance to play a unique piece of pinball history. Lastly, for new games, I jumped in on the Alien pre-order, like, right away. I should be one of the first ones in the first batch to come over whenever they do make it here. I previously owned an Alien machine that I got at the Texas Pinball Festival through Cointaker. I ordered this one through Cointaker. I really, really liked that game, like, a lot. But mine was one of the, I think, first three or so that were in the country. And it had issues. I got it to put on location because I think games should be played and not hoarded away. And it wasn't holding up really well on my location. So I wanted to trade it away. At that point in time, there were already rumors of the company that was Highway Pinball was going to be going under. Parts were going to be hard to come by. And I didn't know that the amazing community of Pinside would come to the rescue and have so many people who got a hold of the game managed to track down parts chains, supply chains through China, or simply reproduce parts and make them better quality. Had I known that was going to be the future of that machine, I probably never would have got rid of my original in the first place. So when the opportunity arose to get this new model made by the Pinball Brothers, I couldn't resist, so I jumped in, threw my deposit down, and their estimation was quarter one of 2021. They have since said they had a bit of a problem with their new physical ball lock mech, and they were going back to kind of look at that, and it would probably cause some delays. When I paid my money for a quarter one 2021 delivery, my brain immediately said, sweet, quarter one 2022. I didn't expect to see that machine anytime soon, but I wanted to have a spot in line for the machine so that if it does come to fruition, I can get my hands on it, get it early, get it out on location, have people play it. That's where I'm at. I listened to the interview that they did with the super awesome guys. Kind of understood where they were coming from. I've been following the Twitter and Instagram accounts since they first went public with those, or kind of not even public. They were secretly, like, posting things, and some people were catching on to it. I have faith in it, so we'll see. I hope what they make is a good product. I think the price it came out at was fair and reasonable, and I'm really looking forward to it, man. Like, I really, really liked Alien, so I'm excited to have that thing back. Goodbye from my collection. As I already mentioned, I traded away Stars for the Voltan. So I no longer have a Stars. I don't know why there are so many bells going off right now. It's really annoying. And then I just sold my Super Mario Brothers. And I put in my show notes, fucking see ya, because I fucking hated that game. It was earning me money, and I still just couldn't stand to have it. So that's my feelings on Super Mario Brothers. Not a fan of the Gottlieb System 3s. That game, like I said before, like after having it a week, I was like, oh, this isn't as bad as people made it out to be. I was wrong. It takes like 2 weeks, and then you realize how bad it is. It's decently fun to shoot, but then you realize, like, tournament wise, competition wise, like there's just no point in having that game because the way the scoring and the rules work, it's just not fun. And I was almost gonna say goodbye to Flintstones. I thought I had a deal in place to acquire a Theater of Magic, which is like the one game that Alyssa really likes and wants and loves, and I was gonna make it happen so that I could make this trade. That's why I sold Mario Brothers. The guy wanted Flintstones, so I was gonna trade him Flintstones and cash that I got from Mario Brothers for his Theater Magic, which was a really nice Theater Magic. Fully admit that. But that's the game that I don't like, but I literally likes, and it was gonna be like a nice little sweet Valentine's Day surprise. And then the guy just messaged me last night that after I've sold my game and was ready to make this deal like go through, he's like, I kind of like Theater of Magic more than I thought I would, so I'm thinking about keeping it now. Can I just buy your Flintstones? And I was like, no, because the whole point was I was getting rid of some games from location to bring in a game, and now I'm not. So anyway, that's a deal that fell apart. I think I had something else like that happen in the last couple weeks too. It's been part of the problem with a lot of the newer collectors coming in, and it's not just the newer collectors, it's just if I say I'm going to do a deal, even if I regret it, I tend to go through with that as far as I can think. My Mario Brothers, I posted in a private Indiana group for a lower price than I posted it publicly. Somebody there said they would take it at that price before somebody, and I posted it there a couple hours earlier before I posted it publicly. And then I had multiple people from the public price, which is like $500 more, say they wanted it at that price. And I wasn't going to like backtrack on what I had posted it for in the Indiana group. I just took a little less money. So I don't know. I just wish people would stick to the deals that they put out there. But regardless, maybe a Theater of Magic remake it should be coming in the future here. It's been mentioned by Rick before that that's one of the ones being remade. And then I'll get the upgrades and the big screen, etc. And I'll just wait for that. But on that note, we'll jump into some rumors. CGC, Chicago Gaming Company, Planetary Rick, they're supposed to be announcing Cactus Canyon like any day now, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Godzilla is the most recent and biggest rumor I've heard on Stern. I've heard Stern also has the license for Motley Crue. I've also heard they have a license for the Eagles, so I would expect to see those, along with maybe Back to the Future in the coming year or so. Those are just loose rumors that are out there. I don't know any sort of details. I haven't heard anything like this is happening. I really, with Godzilla, it's supposed to be the Toho license, but as I've seen these previews for Godzilla vs. King Kong, man, like, I'm just saying it'd be really cool if it was Godzilla vs. King Kong, even if it wasn't based on the movie, but, like, different film adaptations or comic adaptations, etc. I really want a King Kong pinball machine of some variety outside of the couple of prototypes from Data East that exist. I think King Kong is an awesome theme, or Skull Island is the theme, etc. I think that would be great. Love to see that. There's the always persistent James Bond rumors. They've been going on for so many years now that I've just given up hope on them. But I am looking forward to that new No Time to Die film coming out. I did pick up a No Time to Die James Bond Hot Wheels car when I was at Target the other day, actually. So that's exciting. That's coming out this year. It wouldn't surprise me completely if there's a James Bond game from Stern. Wouldn't mind that. Toy Story should finally be coming, I do believe, from Jersey Jack this year. And then I don't see Jersey Jack releasing two games this year. I know they've been working towards that goal for years now, it seems, but based on how slow production seems to be going for Guns N' Roses right now, I don't think they're going to get to a second title or two titles this year. I would assume we'll get one game this year, but that's it. And then American Pinball has been kind of, like I said, I already praised Hot Wheels here today. And the fact that I do enjoy and appreciate Hot Wheels so much has me more intrigued in what's coming from them in the future. And as of right now, it does seem, according to their interview, that they basically have titles number 4 and 5, like, pretty far along in progress, and they could be releasing two titles this year. I would still be really surprised to see that happen, but they've had a bit of a shakeup in their staff. They've added more resources to their team, and most importantly to me, they have brought in Dennis Nordman. Dennis Nordman was largely responsible for the design on the Alien machine before it was slightly modified when it went into production with Highway. And Dennis is simply a fun game designer. He mentioned that his ramps, in an interview he did, he mentioned his ramps were changed a lot in Elvira, but Elvira was his game. And then whatever he could be working on there. And he's working as like lead designer with junior designers, I believe it was how it was explained underneath him. So he'll be helping to mentor some new designers as well. They brought on another engineer, which is one of the things that he said he was really lacking with his machines at the last couple companies, that including Deep Root. Oh, and Deep Root might release a game this year, but it got delayed, so who knows. So anyway, those are some of the rumors that are out there. I don't have anything concrete on those. I'm reading the same dirt sheets everyone else is, those sort of things. But hopefully we'll see Cactus Canyon real soon, because it's been quite a while since CGC showed us Monster Bash, which was, again, great. All the remakes have been really well received, really well done, and I'm looking forward to that. But that's all I got for you, keeping it a pretty short, sweet welcome to the new year. Go check out Hot Wheels if you get a chance. Hope everyone's doing well. My location just had our best month ever in January of 2021, so the year is off to a good start. We got free play tonight, we got league tomorrow night, and if I can still move around after wrestling practice, I'm going to try to go down there and get in a couple games. So, thanks for listening. This is Tommy from This Flippin' Podcast. Everyone have a good day, and we'll be back soon.